safety nets. Let me see. Project is funded by talent development grant from Stimulating Fund. Creative Industry Fund NL. Thank you, Stimulating Fund and the Netherlands for making this possible.
Welcome to the first episode of Safety Net's Let Me Sing. My name is Nami, a host of the show and an artist and an admin of HTML Zine Club. This episode is about infrastructure of service.at, which is a non-profit net culture initiative in Linz, and how they deal with security of server as an organization running their own data center. Hello, today I'm in Linz and I'm here at service.at. Now I would like to talk with Davide and Mikael from service.at. They are core members. So yeah, can you please introduce yourself and also service to our listeners?
Hi everybody, my name is Davide Bevilacqua. I'm working at service.at since a few years. I'm not a system admin. I'm a power user and a notorious, how you say it, a case study for the infrastructure. And I'm organizer and coordinator for the cultural program of service and also the administration part, not the system. I mean, it's also the system, but more like the financial and applications and kind of, and the connection with the community. So yeah. This is what I mostly do. Whatever stays unclear that who does it, then it's mostly me who has to figure it out. So that's
that's
more like a groundwork a lot.
Okay, I think that explains a lot. And hello, Mikael, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi everybody. I'm Mikael in Servus sysadmin, and I'm running for a long time some online services and websites for artists and culture and streaming and things like that, personal email and other stuff anybody needs.
So how long have you been working for service.at?
I started collaborating in 2017. Now it sounds long.
Wow.
The to-do list got bigger and bigger over the years. I did one residency here and I liked to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 years ago, I took over the administration part because the person who did it before quit, and then we didn't find anybody else. And then I said, like, well, somehow it has to run. So in the worst case, I break it. But so far, it didn't happen yet.
Okay. Thanks. And how about you, Mikael? How long have you been working?
Yeah, directly in Servus, it's 1 year now. Yeah, before I was running a long time my like online gallery Node 9 in Prague. But I came to Servus, which is even bigger and even longer history. So it was amazing and environment and cultural context in Linz.
Yeah, thanks. So since my questions are how to run your own server as a cultural practitioner, plus how to deal with security matters on your server and so on, I thought it would be nice to talk about your recent project, which is artist running a data center. I know, service, you are running a data centers, and these data centers host web spaces. And I saw many collectives and cultural practitioners, even institutions, are using the server from service.at. How come actually was the concept of data center aroused here? It's actually really about you are sharing something with others. What kind of like a mind is it behind this?
So I answered because I did the publication and I was interviewing a lot of people, and I was puzzled by the same questions as well. And maybe Michael also can provide other perspectives later. So Servus was started, important to say, Servus is located physically in the Stadtwerkstatt, which is this building which is very central in the independent art scene.
Mm-hmm.
It many see it as almost as an institution, and the Stadtwerkstatt hates to be called institution because mm-hmm. they are a collective. They run their own house, they run their own club, they do artistic projects with media art. But yeah, this idea of autonomy is very important for them, and it was always to kind of claim spaces and also use and occupy and get what you need as an artist, as a cultural producer, as a person. So they started in almost 45 years ago, not in the same building somewhere else, but then they moved here and they continued like this. And they experimented a lot with media all the time because for them, especially in Austria, also like in the 80s and 90s, media and like radio communication frequencies were very closed. They were at the forefront of pushing also like legally, not legally through law, but also through practice and through activism to get radio frequencies. And this is where, for example, Radio Fro came to be through Stadtwerkstatt and their work. And then it kind of grew autonomous, but still in collaboration with the house. And Servus was the same when first internet protocols and I don't know, mail programs and things were coming together. The house was has always had a need of being in touch with other peer-minded people.
Yeah,
and also keeping up your own infrastructure in doing so, because you want to be autonomous, or you need to be autonomous because the state doesn't allow you to have these free frequencies and stuff. So that was the beginning, but it was a necessity from the house, and it was already many people there. So it was first running its own infrastructure for what you do, and then the community kind of continues growing, and then grows, and at some point Servus was autonomous. And I don't know why, to be honest, it started having members and memberships. I mean, naturally it these things form in the shape of an association, also legally.
Yeah.
So you have members. Then I think back then it was the 1996, so next year is 30 years. There was no free email account you could do. So it was actually for them easier to, for people in the city, was actually one of the few reference points to get an email address at all. So we have people from that time still.
Okay.
We are still using the services still from there.
But why specifically for artists? What is the meaning, you know? Because actually server, it can be just run by almost everyone. I read publication and then someone said administrating the server itself, he considers it a form of art in a way, because there are so many things that he needs to configure on his own. Is there anything for you, Mikael, want to add on it?
Yeah, in terms of running server, of course, you can run it at home, and Servus is running kind of data center in a music club, actually. And you can run it like Node 9 started in kind of small data center in a residential building, like you use some space in your basement. And by the time I was tired of data centers, and I also, there was a phase like running Node 9 in a cultural institution where I was admin, where actually you can use the network of the institution with your mobile phone and with your notebook. It's principal, bring your own device. Yeah. So I said, I'm his admin, I will bring my own server. And somebody calls it shadow IT, like putting in the university some server in the network, like nobody knowing, and using it a bit parasitically, but it's kind of you are not harming anyone. And of course you can run it at home with some proper router and with some better connection.
Thanks. By the way, now I'm actually really questioning to myself, did we actually ever introduce service.at properly in this recording?
I'm not sure. I mean, we are running around that anyway. So it's, I mean, I can say three words about that. Service is a cultural association that does mostly media art production and organizes a festival called Art Meets Radical Openness. And the second festival is now three edition is called Design Week we are currently developing. So this is what we do as a cultural association. You produce art. And then we are doing critical media art, and kind of we experiment or research what are the phenomena of, I don't know, network culture and online communities, or yeah, in general, digitalization. So all these kind of things, and we have a clear critical point and approach to that.
Yeah.
And as we are critical, but also mildly touching the activist work, we want to not only to talk, but also to do things in a critical way, which I think maybe connects back to the question of why artists.
Yeah.
And so in a way of trying to keep this consistency and also do the consistency is, if you're criticizing big tech, then you want to have an alternative. So that's why we also operate the data center.
Yeah.
That's it. This is Servus. And it's very difficult to describe because of these two souls. Art production, media, and internet infrastructure, they all come into one.
And now maybe I would like to ask Mikael, how is the day of administrator of Servus.at? Like, what do you do? What kind of works are involved in?
Yeah, first, the day of the admin, a lot of people are doing this remotely because a lot of system admin work is sitting at terminal, often in night, because if you do some operations on some software, you don't want to disrupt people using it.
Yeah,
you have to do something in times where it's not used too much to restart something, so you start at midnight or even later. So that's part of it. The other part is, of course, to talk to people. We are talking with David and with others. What do they expect? What they need to run? So.
Mm-hmm.
We are discussing about how these organizations, and these are also cultural initiatives, how they develop by the software. You we allow them to do some activities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tied to like how the cultural organizations communicate, how they organize, and that's what we talk about a lot. And of course, there's a lot of studying knowledge about networks, about running things, about like programming languages and deployment setups, what to know, and like routing and firewalling and things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how many administrators are here at Servus.at?
In Servus, we are, I think, two internal and some others participating in some, like helping to run some of the systems or participating on some. We have technical board, which discusses the strategic decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's also helpful to talk how to solve things and what's the direction we are heading, what's the strategy of like infrastructure building, what perspective for us.
And I wanted to add also that around Servus there are many other system admins. So the core, as Misha said, is two in the team, and then other four which are in the board of the association, and together they form this technical board.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have like many, maybe smaller scale admin, but still admins, because we do actually, so in the data center, our walls are a little bit more porous in a way.
Yeah.
So we are also doing some housing. A few specific projects that are hardware in our data center, but basically we provide them just routing and electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are administered by others. Some of these are, for example, the radio.
Yeah.
There is the Cultural Broadcasting Archive, which is some platform collecting all the radio shows done in Austria in the independent scene with, I don't know, 200,000 podcasts a year or so. So it's huge, still here. And then, so a few projects like this, and all of these, they have their own admin, Sattverstadt. They have also some servers, and they also are administered by others. And this is like some sort of gray area in our toolbox.
Yeah.
It's not super publicly advertised, but we also have virtual machines and VPS for specific projects. And we don't really announce it like this because now it's very common to spin up a VPS at Hetzner or any other company, a big company that are very automatized. So with a few minutes, you have your machine.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have some more like artisanal approach to the machine. So we are not that automatized yet. so this is a lot of work. And then you just do it for projects where you know it really makes sense and we want it and they want to be at Servus because of specific reasons, then it's very fine for us also to do that. And all the machines are also then given administration rights too.
Yeah, and actually maybe the ARDC project, I read that there are some system administrators here who have been staying so long from the beginning almost, you know. And actually, I was wondering, okay, what makes them keep working for this?
There is one person which is since the beginning, who is Didi.
Yeah, indeed.
Didi was circulating in the house across the different associations since the beginning, since the mid, late 90s.
Yeah.
Stadtverstadt, and then Froh, and then at some point he was employed a bit from everybody. And then it became clear his job was within Servus. He kept on doing mostly the same things from Servus to the other two associations, basically. Mm. And in his case, I mean, he's not so talkative, but maybe a bit stereotypically, but he has been around since ever, and I think it cares a lot about the machines. So not even so much on what is done with them. So he's not very much aware of the projects, but he's like really much aware of the house and the needs and of these histories. And I think it's very bound to this project because it's like something very special, very unique. And then he has been following that as well. And the others who are around since a long time is this technical board, which are all... Yeah. Older employees, older mm-hmm. system admins.
Yeah.
And it was basically, I think pretty much all of them were the Michael before Michael,
mm-hmm.
before Michael, before Michael. So there has been one Didi and then many other Michaels in the past. somehow.
That sounds funny. Yeah, but it's very easy
in a
way of explanation. Yeah, yeah, thanks.
And I mean, of course, like tasks overlap and change over time, but yeah. And they all still stick around because they get attached to the server.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we've been already recording for a while. I don't want to drag it too long. So maybe now, it's time to jump to the kind of main point of this recording. My main issue as an admin of HTML Zine Club is that I would like to make web space safely. Because people are mostly now concerned, what if my website or what web pages are scrapped or crawled by AI bots or maybe other big tech bots because it's really personal material. And then, yeah, I was wondering if there's any technical or even conceptual strategies for you to deal with this security matter of service.at.
Yeah, sure. This is not a new thing with AI crawlers and... stealing the data. I'm like watching and dealing with this like for 20 years
mm-hmm.
because this fight, this like crawlers, this hacking
mm-hmm.
Attacks are constantly present in on the internet. It's kind of invisible side, but when you are running server, it's constantly being attacked by something.
Mm-hmm.
So the AI in the last year is just another thing adding to that, which can actually with scraping web pages, load them with such high demand that some people experience crashes. and it starts to be very problematic running this site because they are under so heavy load.
Yeah.
And actually the AI is using that in their own services, so they just take the data and not sending like the search engines before, not sending the people to this website where the data and informations are, but using them by themselves, no more like giving the website traffic. Yeah. And the personal things, they are it's kind of different like threat which is coming the digital sphere. It's not just like attacks on the servers and security attacks and things like that, but people have more and more like personal data in digital spaces, and they are being vulnerable by that, and by like construction of this spaces, like media wise or information wise, they can be manipulated in different kind of bubbles, in influences of information or prepared and manipulated information. So this is kind of new threat where the personal data are used and misused. Mm-hmm. And they are used in like political communications. There was a project of like detecting 500 PR companies which are using personal data of people for political communication, and start to be like this influence problem. So we can have some defense. Of course, these are strategies how to detect this attack, how to firewall, how to control how many requests can anybody do, so which IP addresses are used. I experienced many like intrusions because people have password stored in their computers, and they got some malware or virus, and it steals the account data and starts like spamming on the server or accessing unauthorized things and things like that, or sharing the uploads to websites some bad stuff and sharing it, like they abuse your server because they are not running their own, they just abuse all the servers which they can make accessible by scripts and automated techniques of getting access. But so you can detect
maybe I interrupt you because I think we were also like looking into ways to actively protect, no, like scrapers and things, because I was maybe more like not from the attacker side, but also really from just making things less searchable or like less scrapable. Discovered there was some discussions in online like some weeks and months ago about how many what are the main instances that are being scraped or main websites are being scraped, and there is also like a lot of artists and or developers or activists that are trying to build tools that prevent AI scraping crawlers to get to your machine and take your material. We found out a list. There is one great collection is from the Algorithmic Sabotage Research Group. They were posting like 10 or 15 different tools or methods how to protect your server from the scrapers. Mm-hmm. And some of them go more in a defensive mode, like I'm gonna detect this that there is an AI and I'm gonna reroute it or trap it into some sort of endless list of links that never, so it falls in a pit basically, or some others are trying to attack against and then try to poison the AI. So we were looking at the list, and then together with Michel, we started. He did a few steps and started implementing some of these measures. That's why I interrupted him, because I thought maybe it's also interesting to hear a little bit how it works.
Yeah, because maybe this kind of answers could be very helpful for other site operators. Maybe they also want to protect from the attacks and so on. So, for instance, I have robots.txt, but then I also tested pretending like that I'm a different agent's bot and so on. But it seems like it's working. But a lot of my friends know this site. They said this will not really do its job properly. So I was wondering then what could I do else, you know?
Yeah, there are technical strategies, but first you can put some sensitive data or start discussing. You can put this behind login box and make it not public. Yeah, you close the discussion forum, and that's kind of retract strategy some people use. But you, of course, lose your participation on some public discourse and how to influence public interest things. So you want to have some information public and stay open. And in this open things, you have some policies or licenses, and the scrapers are using gray area, because if you have something online, they say, we can use it. Mm-hmm. So you say this is under kind of policy or license, and you start to enforce your rules by these technical measures. And this area you can block IP addresses if you detect some too many requests from some IP address or some attack from some IP address, you put it on the block list. So if you detect some user agent, which is scraper, which is bot, you don't want your website to use, you can block them or do whatever, you can send them a response from web server, too many requests. And there is a lot of communication on HTTP. HTTP level you can use, and a lot of techniques, or you can redirect them to some website which is used to catch them, or you can detect they don't respect your robots.txt file. So if they don't respect it, you can take them kind of malicious actors and do whatever you do with this request. user agent blocking or detection is not perfect, because anybody can use whatever text for user agent they want. So it's just a voluntary thing. They put some string they use. Some are using just mimicking a browser that it looks like a regular browser is accessing this, or they are changing it with every request. There is different one. So you can stay with this detection of how many requests they make and what actually they are scraping. And you also can detect with honeypot pages or URLs. Honeypot.
Honeypot.
Yeah. You prepare a honeypot for them.
It's more like an.
When they go there to this chamber, you catch them. It's done you put on the website some invisible link that people do not see. People who see the page visually, they do not see it. It's some invisible pixel or something like that. But the bots do not see the web page visually, and they think it's some link on the website and they go there. And you see when they went to this page you prepared as a honeypot, they are the bot. So there are different techniques.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can also watch logs and metrics and detect like unusual behavior. On professional level, you use some network traffic analysis and flow monitors and things like that. So you actually detect any unusual patterns in a network communication, and things like that.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for tips from the technical side. But then actually, as for your response, I think Davide maybe has something to add up because I see your notes.
I think this is also what Michael was mentioning, no? That to put things into behind the login in a way. And because I think there is also some sort of cultural shift towards maybe less visible, less open infrastructures, like social infrastructures in a way, not meant social media, but like really between people that organize in groups that are not super public. And I think this maybe has been something that has evolved over the last 10 years or so, where people realized how toxic also like this hyper visibility, hyper attention, the need of being constantly online, how demanding it is on psyche and things, but also how you lose control very quickly about your thing. So that's why we see in general, not only in the critical areas, I mean, also on social, on more mainstream social media, that people are a bit more, want to be a bit more private. They don't make it very manifest. Not all the people, there are still many people making everything very visible. But I see there is a growing amount of people who have private profiles, and
indeed,
some sort of go a bit more into some sort of dark forest mode with closed groups, signal groups, rather than public internet. And I think this is interesting because, it's like it also covers this more cultural dimension of like maybe not being so visible all the time.
This is really interesting.
Then yes, it is. Then you put things behind the login page, or you work on a local network. And I mean, for us as a network, as a service, for example, we also started implementing the last years more like some social protocols to try to involve the specific members, but like not necessarily on the super public surface.
Mm-hmm.
Or also have some spaces where you talk to each other in a non-public way, but with the rest of the members. So like, I think there will be more and more of this in the future. And yes, like also, but I also like what Michel as well said, like this idea of interacting with the public sphere, that is still important. So I think like both directions are very endangered, but also very important to maintain.
Yeah, I can also add maybe about this works. There is a big need nowadays to create kind of safe spaces, safe digital spaces for people, or also for hosting websites. And maybe people can struggle doing that individually. So, of course, there are some services on the internet which like protect your website from AI and whatever the DDoS attacks. So we are talking with David what we started like putting like offering it also to members you can use this kind of safer access. We will filter those and those things for you, because actually when you run VPS you are you deal with everything from the internet by yourself. Yeah? So we can help people use this filtering layer as other services are done now. Maybe that's what can be done in the near future.
Indeed. Wow, actually, in the last minute, I think I learned a lot already. So thank you for sharing your insight with me and listeners. And I have one last question. So there's a clear urgency to run a data center like service.at, but then, it's not easy, I guess. What would you recommend to others who would like to start running data centers like service.at? This is actually more general, broad question. So maybe when it comes to working together, or I don't know, how to finance?
I think I would say not try to follow what ServiceCity is doing, and to, as specifically what we offer to our members, or how we operate, because we do this because we try to answer a question or like some needs that are maybe not always very, very clear. And so we are very rooted and situated in a house with specific demands, or like they operate things and they need stuff, digital layers to do their things. And to sum it up, like what technology wise service is doing, it's always an answer to what the members need, what our house need, and there is like, I don't know, access point here and there, and there has been whatever. So this is always some sort of answer to something external. So therefore the suggestion will be like find the place that needs such a thing, and then kind of work yourself around that, the needs that community or space, or I don't say institution because institution sounds structured, indeed, but maybe that collective needs. Yes. And it doesn't have to be a collective that deals with tech to need safe technologies. But maybe there is a community that has a need, and then you, like, if you're interested in, like, very often you don't do this because you're interested, maybe, but because some other people need it and they need some help. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, in that is something that would make your project more, probably more reliable and more like long lasting, because people will still need that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not you staying and doing it, but maybe another person will do it. But then I think this being embedded in a network of needs and people is what makes it more reliable and resistant.
Okay, so the pinpoint is like people need. People need it anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, and try to find ways to ask and decipher these needs.
Yeah.
Because maybe if people aren't, like, this community is not very technical, they will not know how to articulate that. So you as a system admin, or as a person who has a background or a knowledge in that, will have to do a lot of non-system admin, non-technical work to decipher what is actually necessary, what the people need, and a lot of information and exchange. And there is not only one way, you know.
True.
It's always both ways.
Yeah, true. And also, if you question this way, then you can find your ways more naturally. Of course, there's going to be trials and errors. And is there anything by Mikael you do add?
Yeah, if anyone is interested in running a server or data center, I would say look around or other communities already doing that, and you can network and see what they are doing, how they are doing, and and join this already kind of network of such communities. So I think it's amazing, and that's how it will work on more personal relations in the future, all this information sphere.
Okay, yeah, indeed. Yeah, eventually it's the best to learn from others.
And others might need you too.
Yeah.
Not so many people, so it's quite rich.
True.
Answer if somebody says, like, hey, I want to help out.
Oh, yeah. But that also, yeah. So it's been a while that we have been recording, and now maybe it's okay finally to wrap it up. And thanks for joining me for this radio recording. I hope I managed editing, because now I'm already getting a little worried. But it was really nice learnings from you. And actually, there were some kind of abstract parts that I also was curious about service. I actually visited your website and I read your publication, but there were some small details that I was wondering. Yeah. But I think I learned a lot today. And also thanks, Mikhail, for your inputs as for strategies or methods, how you deal with as a system admin, as for running a server securely. So yeah, then.
Thank you. Thank you, Nami, for the questions and for joining us here.
I wish it that I was able to throw these questions in a more organized way, but I'll see. We have a method of editing, so let's rely on it.
Cool.
But thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you all have a nice rest of the day, and hope we meet soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Safety Nets, Let Me Seen project is funded by talent development grant from Stimulering Fund, Creative Industry Fund NL. Thank you, Stimulering Fund and the Netherlands, for making this possible.